and welcome to the latest episode of the ERP Strategies and Solutions podcast series. In this series, we'll join ERP specialists, business owners, industry insiders, and others to explore the business benefits of ERP. Now, here's your host, Chris Carroll.
Hello, everyone. This is Chris Carroll. Thanks for joining us for another installment of ERP Strategies and Solutions, the podcast series. Today's podcast is a Q&A session, a follow-up to a recent webinar hosted by Panorama Consulting Group. I'm going to be speaking with Eric Kimberling, president of Panorama Consulting, and Nick Massera, director of implementation with Panorama, asking them a few questions about lessons learned with best-in-class ERP implementations. Eric and Nick are ready to answer a few questions, so here we go. Guys, in your opinion, when a client does not care about or invest in change management with the implementation of a new ERP system, what are the impacts that you have seen? What is the impact of basically not spending the time or money on organizational change management?
What I would say is that if you don't care about or invest in change management and an ERP system, what ends up happening is it turns into a very technical project. So it becomes very technically focused. You focus most of your time and energy on how is the software going to work? What can we, how do we want to configure the software? But what ends up happening then is that people that actually need to make the project successful, which are the end users, aren't informed on how the software really works or how the business processes work, and they aren't kind of brought along for the ride, if you will. So that by the time you go live, you have a big disconnect there between what you've designed and what you've implemented versus what the end users are actually able to accomplish. I don't know, Nick, what are your thoughts there?
Well, Eric, on change management, I've been involved in three areas or three implementations. Two of them had problems where change management was not put into place. Put into place in one of the circumstances, but not done effectively. Change management in the third instance, and there's many instances, but these three in particular, in the third instances went quite well. A lot of people think that change management, is not required. Yet, people within the organization, especially people at the worker level, are very afraid of very large implementations. They're afraid about their job. They're afraid about, what's going to happen if they don't understand the software and so forth. Change management really is a process for teaching people how to change from what they're doing, and where they're going in the new system. So a very critical part, especially in ERPs or large software projects.
Yeah, I agree with you, Nick. And you made a good point that people are afraid, and that's something that I didn't mention or didn't think of in the response, is that, you don't want people to be afraid of, what's going to happen to their job, or you don't want them thinking about that kind of stuff. You want them to be thinking about, how am I going to use this new system? How am I, what do my new processes look like? And if you make that stuff clear for people throughout the project, even prior to go live, then they're just going to be a lot more comfortable and they're going to be a lot more efficient in their jobs once the system is up and running.
Right. It helps them go through the process of change over to the new systems, which are, again, they are frightening to the average person.
Now, in your experience, where exactly do you see the hard dollar benefits of a new ERP system?
I can rattle off a few that we look at, and Nick, be curious to see what you think. But, when we're helping a client evaluate software and develop a business case and ROI justification for a project or for an investment in ERP, some of the major areas we look at are, we look at two major categories, labor benefits and non-labor benefits. On the non-labor benefit side, those are things like your inventory levels, your accounts receivable or days receivable outstanding, your fixed assets. That's another one that can be affected by ERP depending on the scope of that. So we look at those non-labor, the capital benefits, but then we also look at the labor benefits. And this is where we look at process efficiencies. So if there's, we look for manual redundancies in business processes or maybe areas where you've got a lot of people doing redundant work. But we start to look at, if you're talking about hard dollars, obviously you're going to come out of this analysis with some soft dollars, because if you've got, one person in a department and you're going to make their job 10% more efficient, well, you're not going to eliminate 10% of a payroll or 10% of a head there. But, you know, that's a soft benefit in that you've got that 10% that you could use for some other activity or some other high value activity. In other areas on the labor side, you may see that, you know, you've got a department of 20 people and you could, you know, increase efficiency by 20%, in which case, you know, maybe there's an opportunity there to either hire less people in the future, reallocate people if they can be used elsewhere, or in some cases, maybe cutting headcount, which I know, unfortunately, a lot of companies are looking at now with recession the way it is. So those are some of the major ones. I don't know, Nick, if you have other hard benefits that you've looked at throughout your career.
Actually, you know, there are several. ERPs are some of the toughest pieces of software to, you know, justify, but it's varied. One is the integration, the sheer integration of a lot of disparate systems, which is what we tend to see a lot of. So by the time you've integrated them, you know, into an ERP, which we like to say is when you scratch your knee, you feel it in the elbow. That type of integration, which we see in ERP, actually tends to eliminate a lot of processes, you know, throughout your system. The other is in the processes themselves. Because now they are integrated, as we start to go through the process flows, we see that several pieces are eliminated. Several functions that were done manually now are contained within the system, and because they are highly integrated, they eliminate other processes. So a big part of the ER implementation. All of a sudden you see visibility is another. A lot of people really can't look through the enterprise, especially when we look at international levels, but they don't really see inventory as an example. They don't see it across the enterprise. So they get a one-off win out of that because they're able to optimize inventory management a lot better. And a lot of the packages also have implied within them and through their configurations, getting more like this, the best practices for that industry that's embedded, you know, inside of the software. So there's a lot of benefit from that. So those are just some examples. But I would say the processes would be, and process change would be one of the biggest.
Nick, what about IT costs and your experience? You know, are those hard dollars where you could say, you know, we're going to reduce, you know, or cut our IT infrastructure cost, or perhaps cut IT staff? Are those real numbers, or are those more soft benefits?
No, I think what happens, it depends on if you look into scenarios now where a lot of people moving to, and I know understand what we say when we say cloud computing means a lot, but when they went gone into hosting centers now where the cost has dropped tremendously, okay? So there's some kind of a benefit in there, but probably enhances more things along the Sarbanes-Oxley and so a lot of the control side of that. But I would say that when you tend to go to an ERP, especially on a global level, sometimes you eliminate redundant tasks that are performed by information systems. And that, you know, you get some benefit, you know, inside of that. It just depends on the organization.
Okay. Now, how do you calculate the ROI of an ERP implementation? How do you do that?
If you go to Panorama's website, there's something a feature we just added under our resource center that is an ERP ROI calculator. Very high level, very simple, simplistic calculator that allows you to kind of figure out, you know, based on number of employees and carrying costs and that sort of thing, what are, you know, your actual costs going to be and what are your actual benefits going to be, you know, just based on average metrics that we have. And that gives you a very, you know, simple return on investment and a payback period in a number of years. So, you know, if you'd like, feel free to go to that spot on our website. Again, it's under the resource center on our website. But in general, the general way you would do that to calculate ROI is obviously cost is the first thing. You want to look at what is your total cost of ownership. You want to make sure you're not just looking at the software license cost and maybe some basic technical configuration cost. You want to look at everything. You want to look at additional project management costs, additional organizational change management costs, any upgrades or changes to your infrastructure you need to make. Those need to be factored in. Data migration. So you put together a full-blown cost estimate and also the timing of those costs. And then you want to look at your those hard dollars that we just talked about. the things that you know you can quantify that you can actually translate into real dollars, you want to then lay that out on a, you know, generally a 7 to 10 year cash flow based horizon to look at, you know, what is our payback period? What is the ROI based on some of those metrics? So that's a real simple version of how we will generally help our clients do that. I don't know, Nick, do you have